Hey, everybody, you've joined me, Kevin Stevenson, on I Don't Care with, of course, me, Kevin Stevenson. Thanks again for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to me talk about subjects that I'm in, that I'm interested in, and people who I'm interested in. My guest today is somebody I've known for a long time through the American College of Healthcare Executives North Texas chapter. Please meet Ashley McClellan, who is the founder and CEO of MedCurate. Ashley, welcome to I Don't Care.
Thank you, Kevin, for having me.
So I know you, but maybe my audience doesn't. So tell my audience a little bit about you, about your career path and how you came to found MedCurate.
Great. Happy to do so. Well, I had the good fortune of having a great mentor growing up that was a hospital COO. And so most people, when they think healthcare leadership, they think maybe doctor and nurse, but there are a wide array of opportunities in the healthcare setting. And so I pursued my undergraduate degrees in business, finance, and Spanish, and knew that in order to continue to grow within healthcare leadership, I needed to pursue my advanced degrees. And I received an MBA and a master's in health administration as well. And following that, I was fortunate to obtain the residency position at Texas Scottish Rite Hospital for Children there in Texas. And as I was completing that program, I was looking for long-term opportunities as a healthcare leader and came across HCA Healthcare's COO development program. I was fortunate to interview for that. And at the time, if you got in, they would say, good news, you're in. And then subsequently, they'd tell you where you're moving. And so for me, I joined that program and went to Overland Park Regional Medical Center. And then subsequently had the opportunity to come back to Texas, where I was the COO and then CEO, and our paths crossed, Kevin, at Medical City Louisville. And then subsequently, I was asked by HCA to go down to the Houston market, where I led the Women's Hospital of Texas as CEO. And that facility is the largest women's and children's hospital in HCA's portfolio, I believe the second largest in the United States, delivering over 11,000 babies a year.
Wow.
And 160-bed NICU. And so really was an advocate for everything related to maternal and child health there. And then my most recent position with HCA was at Research Medical Center, Research Psych, and Research College of Nursing. And it's a 590-bed level one trauma, transplant, comprehensive stroke, burn, a psych hospital, you name it, and really enjoyed my time there, but realized I had grown with the organization and I had an idea of how I could contribute to more than one organization. And that led me to start MedCurate.
Okay.
So that's a little bit about my journey and now founder and CEO at MedCurate.
That's very cool. So you mentioned that you had a mentor growing up. How important have mentors been throughout your career? And I know, you know, those of us who've been in healthcare for a long time have had a number of mentors, but then we like to flip that and we become mentors for other people. So talk a little bit about your mentorship experience as a mentor and as a mentee.
Yes. I would say that's probably one of the most pivotal influences on my healthcare journey has been mentors throughout the course of my career. And it's funny that you mentioned that tide can turn a little bit because at some point your mentors start retiring and then you become the mentor.
Right.
So I think what's been most beneficial for me in that process and being intentional about having mentors. And when I think about mentors, I think of people I want to aspire to be like and emulate some of their leadership traits, not just in the professional setting, but also how they live their life in the community as well. And so throughout my career, I've had really great mentors across multiple divisions, companies, male, female. And I really also enjoy learning from their diverse experiences and maybe sometimes leadership styles that are very contrasting to mine and learning from that too. I now serve as a mentor for many individuals as well. And I find it incredibly rewarding to learn from them see them coming out of school or through residency and what they're learning and how we can continue to evolve as an organization and as healthcare leaders to truly support that next generation of leaders that honestly is going to be taking care of us.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm with you there. Yeah. I'm fortunate enough here at my hospital to oversee our residency program through Baylor University. Yes. And yeah, it's been so much fun for me to see our former residents, you know, move on from here and watch them grow. My point in my career, that's one of my most favorite things that I get to do. So you mentioned leadership style. How would somebody describe your leadership style?
Oh, goodness. I would say care above all else. I try and demonstrate through all of my actions that I genuinely care and support others, whether that's patients, leaders, the organization. The greatest joy I find is helping someone realize their potential and maybe in a way that they didn't even know was possible for themselves. And so I'm very invested in the development of others. I care above all else, and I'm definitely a servant heart.
That's great. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I always saw that whenever you and I would interact. So I think you're dead on. So you were on the hamster wheel that can be hospital administration for a number of years, and decided to step off and create MedCurate. Tell us a little bit about that, because obviously done a little homework. We talked a little bit before. Looked at the MedCurate website. It's really fascinating. You know, I'm an old guy. Anytime I start seeing high tech, I get a little bit, you know, a little bit edgy. But tell me a little bit about how this came about.
Yeah. Well, as I shared a little bit about my career previously, I've been in nonprofit and for-profit and pediatric and adult settings. And the number one issue has always been workforce. Mm-hmm. And it's not getting any better.
Yeah.
And so as I was thinking through how I could truly make an impact with my passion for this topic and leadership, I was recalling being the administrator on call and receiving all the phone calls around the clock, as you do, Kevin. And maybe we had a STEMI and a stroke coming and two traumas that just presented to the emergency department. And so I would go and look at my staffing and realize I need two more ICU nurses tonight. And we didn't have any more people to come in. So we'd reach out to a traditional staffing agency, and it became a very tense kind of negotiation of, well, if you want one tonight, this is what you're going to pay. And that wasn't necessarily what the nurse was receiving. The nurse didn't know what the agency was receiving. And so it was always a convoluted process. And as healthcare leaders, we were asking the supplier what we needed to pay them to get the clinicians. And so I figured, it's time to take back that control and put the control back in the hands of those actually providing the care, which are the clinicians and the healthcare organizations, and allow them to connect directly and allow clinicians to see opportunities that they're competent, credentialed, and licensed to see, and give facilities the flexibility to post what they need and the rate they want to pay so that we can decrease that cost, but also increase pay to those clinicians through our marketplace.
That's great. So is it just nurses, or do you go across the spectrum of healthcare professionals?
Yeah, we go across the spectrum. At this point, we do credentialing for any type of individual that goes through the HR credentialing process.
Okay.
We are not working with physicians or mid-levels at this point because they have a different path for credentialing. Mm-hmm. But we wait and hear from our partner organizations what their needs are. And then we go source to that. And so to date, we have RNs, LPNs, imaging specialties, respiratory therapists, surgical tech, sterile processing. It kind of runs across the board, and we're glad to source for anything.
That's great. Yeah. Well, and you've hit the nail on the head. I was talking with somebody today, and they said, you know, how are you doing? You know, what's going on at your hospital? And I tell them, you know, we're no different from anyone else. Staffing is our biggest issue. you know, trying to find those people. And you know, we're blessed that we live in a great community, but it's not a big community. And so, you know, we're kind of that next tier for people who are getting out of school or their residencies or whatever, you know, because young people want to go to big flashy towns. And Waco, Texas, you know, we're getting to be cooler, but we're not quite there yet. And so, you know, there's only so much shiplap to go around. So sometimes we have a difficulty in recruiting people here. And so we have to go out to staffing agencies. And you're right. I mean, it's number one, it's a struggle. Number two, it's obscene how much of a cut staffing agencies take from the clinician. And because they know they can take advantage of the hospital because we have needs, and they know they can take a little bit of advantage of the clinician because the clinician likes that flexibility, and they know they're going to get a little bit more money, but they don't have the sourcing capabilities that the staffing agencies have. And so, I love hearing the opportunity that you guys provide to kind of, you know, you're still a little bit of a middleman, but you're not that all obtrusive, you know, 600-pound gorilla middleman trying to take advantage of both sides.
Yeah. The main function we're trying to provide is having that digital marketplace and credentialing the providers. The rest, it's up to the providers where they want to work, and it's up to the facilities to post what their needs are, so that truly your needs exactly are being met.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, again, you know, who did you start? You know, you had this idea. Who did you start working with to get this off the ground and to bring it to light?
Yeah. So going from a wonderful corporate logo that had tons of resources, I was very accustomed to having a team of 5,000 at least that was working on a project with me. So when you leave that and become an entrepreneur, you're a team of one. Mm-hmm. But I had the ability to work with a bunch of other entities, individuals, and I'd say logos and companies that were interested in supporting the development of MedCurate. So growing that kind of, like I mentioned earlier with mentors, growing that ecosystem and learning from others in the process. So I was talking with someone that's involved in Digital Health Kansas City, which is a local ecosystem for healthcare tech companies. They have over 100 members now. And in talking with them, they mentioned that there was someone that was doing something comparable, but in the nursing home setting. And so their company is called Superb Shifts. Mm-hmm. Molly O'Neill was the founder, and I connected with Molly and learned about her journey, what solution she was providing. And as I started to learn about the functionality of her platform and her marketplace, it had a lot of the features that I was looking to build myself.
Okay.
And so through building that relationship, MedCurate ended up acquiring a copy-paste version of that code base and then tweaked that for our different healthcare settings. Mm-hmm. So in a senior living facility, there might be one or two job descriptions with one or two approvers. Mm-hmm. In a hospital setting, there's hundreds. Wow. And fortunately, I understand that. And so that really helped me scale quicker and get to market. Our first healthcare organization is Golden Valley Memorial Healthcare in Clinton, Missouri. And knew their team really well. And we had a conversation and said, hey, help us get feedback and make sure we're building the solution that's going to meet your needs. And so we launched with them in February of 24 and then subsequently met with them and continue to get iterations and feedback so we can continue to improve our offering.
How has the expansion gone from that first client? Talk to my audience a little bit about, you know, how are you marketing this? I'd love to hear that.
Yeah. So we're now at 8 healthcare organizations, 5 of those being hospital oriented and 2 surgery centers and 1 home health company. And so my go-to-market strategy, one was looking at my collaborators and partners and friends through ACHE, through the hospital associations, the nursing associations, And because it's a two-sided marketplace, I wanted to start with an organization that had a good volume of demand, but that demand wouldn't be overwhelming because I wanted to make sure that we could meet their needs.
Sure.
And also have enough shifts to start attracting talent to the platform. And so we started about an hour outside of Kansas City proper, which is home base here for us. And over time worked our way into the Metroplex where there's more density and there's more demand, but also we now have more supply.
Sure.
So at the moment we're in Kansas and Missouri, and we are licensed in Texas and planning to be there soon.
Good.
And really working to meet the needs of our healthcare organizations as they grow, throughout the process.
Okay. So how are you finding your talent, if you will? How are you? I mean, it's a two-sided coin. You've got your hospitals, you got your other providers. How are you finding your clinicians to supply?
Yeah. So once we understand, say, what hospital A needs, maybe they need a med-surg nurse and an emergency department nurse. Mm-hmm. We take their job descriptions and look in our platform to see who meets those needs. Our technology crosswalks the job descriptions to the credentialing items that a healthcare provider would upload.
Okay.
And so a, you know, L&D nurse is not going to see an ICU shift.
Yeah.
That makes
okay.
sense. So once we have those, we're always growing our pipeline of clinicians. We do that primarily through the different professional organizations that those clinicians are a part of, whether it's AONL, nursing associations, ACHE, respiratory therapy, depending on what those are. And then we also load those on Indeed. And we say, hey, we have a great opportunity for med-surg and emergency department nurses up to this rate in this geography, pay within 72 hours. A part of our integration and platform, we have a payment mechanism. And so when clinicians clock out of their shift, it lets the facility know. And as soon as they approve that shift within 72 hours, that clinician is paid. And so because we have less overhead and we're able to offer the clinicians more money and they get paid faster. And so there's definitely an appetite from clinicians to be able to have more control of when and where they work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just looking at your website now. I was looking at all of the features on the app. I mean, it's tremendous. Yeah, and like you said, you know, hey, if I'm a clinician and I can get paid within 72 hours, that, I mean, wow, why not, right?
Yeah, and I thought it would be, to your point, you mentioned, you know, the high tech. I thought there might be more millennials on the platform, but we really have a nice wide array of clinicians.
That's great. This is really and truly fascinating. I'm again looking at your screenshots of your app and very intuitive. You know, you've got hey, this is what you can make at this hospital. If you want to work for this, great. I mean, why not? I mean, you know, because I know, you know, you work for a large organization. I work for a large organization. Sometimes that salary negotiation and that dance is long, drawn out. You know, somebody thinks it needs to be totally secretive. And it really, you know, I'll be really honest, and I know you've been in the same boat in your career, you lose some really good clinicians because of the process. And so, you know, having them, giving them this opportunity to really take charge, what a great thing for them. My only concern is I'm going to have a lot of my people here at my hospital hear about this, and you know, I'm going to lose them to you. But
we do have a provision that clinicians can't go from their home site to us back to their home site
because
we're trying not to cannibalize. We're trying to supplement your existing workers.
We appreciate that. We greatly appreciate that. So 5 years from now, tell me what MedCurate looks like.
You know, 5 years from now, I'm hopeful that we can have the full complement of offerings for any supplemental staffing need.
Okay.
So we, right now we could do PRN and per diem. We do blocks of shifts. And some organizations really like that longer term assignment, mm-hmm. which we offer. But I'm hopeful to be in every care setting in every state, because I believe it's the right thing to do for healthcare organizations and clinicians or healthcare providers. And I just finished my doctorate, and all my research was based on how do we keep clinicians at the bedside, having a better experience, better engagement, less burnout, less turnover. And all the research indicates when someone feels like they have control of when and where they work and for how much, mm-hmm. the outcomes and how they feel toward the work that they're doing is much more gratifying and will keep them taking care of our communities longer, which we need based on all the statistics. And so I'm hopeful that we continue to scale and serve the needs of the different communities, regardless of the size of the organization, small, medium, large. We look forward to supporting everyone.
That's incredible. Hey, do you ever see yourself getting into interim leadership opportunities? You know, old CEOs and COOs, you know, hey, you know,
yeah.
if I ever retire, I might want to get a little extra cash on the side. So
yeah.
I'm just asking.
Yeah. Whatever the demand is, we can source for it.
That sounds great.
We'll keep you on the short list, Kevin.
I'll have to keep you in mind in a few years down the road whenever I finally decide to retire, if that ever happens. So tell me a little bit, you know, how has this changed your lifestyle?
Yeah. So, I mean, being a hospital CEO, as you know, you're on call 24/7.
Oh, yeah.
And you're the last call when there's a scenario that maybe someone can't solve for. I'm still the last call.
Yeah, you are.
And sometimes the first call too. So I have found myself, I think about it all the time.
Yeah.
And there's not as great of delineation of work versus home. Mm-hmm. Because I'm constantly iterating and wanting to improve the offering. And so I have a lot more control of where I'm at and when I'm there and when I'm able to get to different things for my kids at this point mm-hmm. in life. But I'll also work tonight when they go to bed because I'm excited about something that I'm working through. And it's incredibly rewarding when we hear the feedback from our clinicians that this is exactly what they needed and they didn't know it existed, or the same thing from the healthcare organization. So that fuels me. I miss the relationships inside the hospital. Mm-hmm. So any chance I get to go into a hospital and meet with them and their nurse leaders, I do that because truly that's where amazing work happens every day. And that's who we're trying to support mm-hmm. is our patients. And so I still try and get back and do that. I just was in a hospital a few hours ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I hear from a lot of old HAP administrators like us. Whenever they go into the entrepreneurial space, that, yes. you know, you have a passion for your hospital or your health system or whatever, but it's so different when it's your own baby, and you now have that flexibility, but you're, you know, like you said, you're always thinking about it. You're always trying to make it better. And so yes. I would think it's just a different level of satisfaction. Yeah, that mm-hmm. you're able to have.
Yeah, constantly growing and learning every single day. I have a high school age son, and he came to see me at the office, and I had, you know, toner that I was replacing for the printer in one hand, and in the other I had a deck of information that I was getting ready to go meet with the health system president uh-huh. on. I'm like, I said, son, this is what it looks like to be an entrepreneur. You do A to Z and yeah. everything in between, but you love it. Because it's yours and you can make a difference.
That is so cool. So I know you, I know you're still active in the community. What are some of your passions whenever you get that free time to give back to the community?
Yeah. So I was fortunate to be appointed to the Children's Mercy Health System Board in Kansas City.
That's great.
So I still get to get into the hospital frequently. And it is very interesting to be on the other side. Not leading the board meeting, but attending as a board of director. And so, and that's a pretty large commitment. They mm-hmm. provide great pediatric care across the region here in the Midwest. So I spend quite a bit of time with that, as well as I'm on the board at SMU's Cox School of Business, which is also a great way to mentor prospective students and students that are going through their journey. But for fun, I golf with my high schooler. I spend a lot of time at flag football and basketball, and actually just started the chapter for Young Men's Service League, which is for high school-aged young men and their mothers to do community service and leadership projects. It was started in Plano, Texas, but they didn't have a Kansas City chapter. So a friend of mine and myself started that here this year.
That's tremendous. I'd never heard of the Young Men's Service League. Heard of Young Women's, but never Young Men's. That's great.
Yeah, they have National Charity League for women, but they didn't have.
Okay.
This is the parallel for men.
Very cool. That's incredible. So all right. We got a couple of minutes here. Any final words for my audience that you'd like to share about MedCurate, your career, mentorship, your kids, your charities, whatever? Floor is yours.
Thank you. I would say I was very dedicated and focused on taking a certain career path. Mm-hmm. And I learned, and I know they tell you, but career paths are not necessarily linear. And they are not exactly where you think that those opportunities will take you. And I guess my advice, if there are some early careerists listening in, would be enjoy the ride. Mm-hmm. Don't be so focused on what's next that you miss what you're experiencing today. When I was asked to go down to Houston, that wasn't on my bucket list of geographies. And it ended up being one of my favorite leadership roles, mm-hmm. And favorite communities that I've had the opportunity to live in. And so enjoy the ride, I'd say that, and be present with where you're at. And I think there's a quote by someone named Gregson. He says, don't spend so much time treading water that you forget, truly forget, how much you always loved to swim.
Oh, okay. That's great. I love that.
So when I'm replacing the toner or whatever the case
may
be.
Yeah, whatever you're doing. Yeah. Be present in that. So.
Yes.
Ashley, it's been a pleasure. It's great to talk to you as always. And thanks so much for spending time today with me on I Don't Care. I appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity. It's great to see you again, Kevin. And thank you for your leadership in healthcare.
Well, thank you so much. Well, folks, yet another episode of I Don't Care with me, Kevin Stevenson, is wrapping up. Thanks again to Ashlyn McClellan, the founder and president of MedCurate. Look her up. Look up her website. It's MedCurate.com. It's real easy. Thank you for not having like a .ai, .org, .whatever. It's .com. So go take a look at it. It's incredibly interesting what Ashley and her team are doing. So with that, thanks so much for joining me, and we'll see you again next time. Take care.